Okay, we're back with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, and we have with us Sister Gloria. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hi. Today, my meditation is from Volume 18, August 15, 1925. So this talks about the Feast of the Divine Will. While I was reading this passage, I was meditating on how important it is our human will, because it's the field that the divine will operates. So this is the passage. After this, I began to think of the feast of my celestial mama, assumed into heaven. And my sweet Jesus, with a tender and moving tone, added, "My daughter, the true name of this feast should be the feast of the divine will." It was the human will that closed heaven, broke the bonds with its creator, made miseries and suffering enter the field, and put an end to the feast that the creature was to enjoy in heaven. Now this creature, queen of all, by doing the will of the Eternal One, always and in everything, even more it can be said that her life was the divine will alone, opened the heavens, bound herself to the Eternal One, and restored in heaven the feast with the creature. Every act she did in the Supreme Will was a feast that she started in heaven. It was sons that she formed to adorn this feast. It was melodies that she sent to delight the celestial Jerusalem. Therefore, the true cause of this feast is the Eternal Will operating and fulfilled in my celestial mama. It operated such prodigies in her so as to astonish heaven and earth, chain the Eternal One with indissoluble bonds of love, and enrapture the word even from her wound. The very angels in rapture repeated among themselves, "From where comes so much glory, so much honor, such greatness and prodigies never seen before in this excelling creatures? Yet she is coming from the exile." She astonished, they recognized the will of their creator as life operating in her. And trembling, they said, "Holy, holy, holy, honor and glory to the will of our sovereign Lord, and glory to Mary, thrice holy, she who let this supreme will operate." So to me, two words came very importantly, let and operate. Because when we think that, like, we're letting ourselves to do something, then we think this is very passive, but actually it's very active. Because it's a total and complete absolute consent that Our Lady made to the will of God. And also when we read the divine will, we can also misinterpret that our human will is something really bad and that it needs to be annihilated and needs to be destroyed. But we have to understand it in a harmony to the church teaching, and then we also have to read it, the whole volume as a whole, not like separately, like in segment, but as a whole. And then, like, sometimes we can think that we have a tendency that, like, we have to ignore it, we have to get rid of our human aspects, that we have to have only the human will, and then it's gonna lead to deny the humanity of Jesus. It's gonna lead us to deny the church teachings and everything that is human. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Our human will is so beautiful and valuable that makes us human. And what makes the human will, he says, it brought miseries and sufferings into the world, but it's because we are using it in a wrong way, because we are misusing it. But our human will is the king and queen of all our abilities, and it is so much like the will of God. And he created everything good, but then we are, with our free will, we are misusing our human will, because I mean, we cannot totally destroy our human will, and it cannot become nothing, because human being exists with our human will, and then what does it mean that it needs to be annihilated? It means that our human will that wants to act on its own, the human will that is disobedient to the will of God, our human will that is acting in a selfish way, our human will that is ruled by, controlled by the bad passions and evils, that are the human wills that needs to be annihilated in the will of God. But we need our human will that loves and is obedient to the will of God. It is really necessary. He wants us to voluntarily say to the will of God that our love you and our obedience to the will of God and our fiat, because our will needs to be operated in the will of God, and the will of God needs to be operated in our will. So that is why it is very necessary and important. And we just gotta learn how to be obedient to the will of God and how to use it accordingly. He wants our will to be completely one to the will of God. He doesn't want to destroy it. Otherwise, we are going to be like robots without nothing. But that's not what he wants. He wants our will to be like the humanity of Jesus. He wanted to be really totally united and perfectly united, one with the will of God. It is our free will disposition, that desire that chooses the will of God to do it, to live it, to follow it, and to allow God's will to operate in us. And this is why Our Lady was so great, because as a creature, she did the most heroic action, sacrifice, because it was not only one martyrdom, but it was constant martyrdom she did throughout his whole life, in everything, in every time, in every action she did. And not because we do everything like perfectly, in perfect obedience, or that we carry out the will of God. It doesn't give us the right to receive the gift of the divine will, but it is gift from God. And it is the basic that we have to be obedient to the will of God. It's the basic condition. But what is important is that we have to allow the will of God operate in us. We gotta do it together with the will of God. This is what Our Lady did. She did together with the will of God. She conformed her will to the will of God perfectly in every time. When in her obedience, in her prayers, in her eating, in her sleeping, that's why even on one single act, simple act, was so much greater and had so immense value than all the acts of all the saints combined, because the divine will was operating in her. That's why all the heaven angels, they lure themselves, came down to welcome her when she assumed into heaven. So we got to remember that this is the invitation from our Lord, by showing her her assumption into heaven, that he also wants us to be like Our Lady. He wants to give the gift of living in the divine will to us, that he wants his will, his eternal immense will, to be operated in us, and that it is not only in certain creatures, but in all of us. So when we use our will wisely, according to the will of God perfectly, then we can also let this great prodigy, this great miracle happen in our life. So we gotta remember that. We gotta work with the will of God, come infused together with the will of God, and then it will make great prodigies in our life too. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. You know, that was a great example too of, you know, that paradox about, you know, we need to destroy the human will. We need to obliterate it. We just like the Bible, sometimes we can't take it literally, because if we annihilated it, we'd have nothing to opt for God's divine will. And then in the same breath, we can say it's the most valuable asset that we possess. In fact, even St. Augustine says that, we need to sort of debilitate it enough. God needs to debilitate it enough so that we reach out for him, so that we know that we cannot do it on our own. If I may, really quickly, I don't want to take some valuable time from the sisters, but on the human will and the insidious nature of it, Father John Olin Brown, when he visited us, I think it was back in 2015 or 2016, he left a quote that stayed in my mind. I'd like to read it to everyone. Quote, "Unless we understand the insidious nature of the opponent, which is the human will, there is no hope of escape. The opponent, our human will, comes dressed in the clothes of a friend rather than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the human will convinces us that he is us. What we call life is a vast case of mistaken identity. And until we distinguish our identity from the opponent, we will remain imprisoned." End quote. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for that sharing, Sister Gloria. Sisters? Can they
see me? Hello.
Hello, Sister Pamela.
Hi. So what Sister Gloria was saying about how Jesus doesn't want us to be slaves, it reminded me of, like, when I first started reading Divine Will, one of the greatest examples that one person gave to me to understand, like, the relationship between the human will and the divine will was that it is like if you were in a restaurant and the waitress comes to you and they offer you a menu and it's like, oh, do you want Coke or Coke? It will be like, is there something else? Like, I don't want only Coke. That's how I understand with Jesus. It's like, if Jesus would only give you, like, I don't know, do you want only my divine will, you wouldn't be able to compare it with something else, which is our human will. And I just wanted to mention that it reminded me of when I first started reading the Bible and I didn't really understand what human will means. And it's that freedom that God gave to us to be able to choose God. Like with Adam, like he gave him the three of good and evil. And it was actually his human will. That's the three that it's of the good and evil. And because if God wouldn't create Adam only with a good, what's the point of being humans if he wouldn't give us a choice to, like, even if he knew, if God knows that we cannot choose him, that we can choose our own, like, humanity, he takes that risk because he only wants us to be free and to love him with that freedom, not with, like, slavery. And I think I'm gonna sound repetitive with everything the sister said, but I mean everything in divine will is the same, and it's how Sister Francesca said that it's all about love. And I want to read from volume 12, December 28, 1917. And Luisa is complaining about how tiring was for her to keep suffering. Like, she was telling Jesus, like, how come I cannot stop suffering? I don't find any rest, and either at night or during the day. And Jesus tells him with all his love, as always, that he didn't even rest, and he did it for us to continue, as her mother was telling, the continuous acts, as how God it is, that he has no beginning, no end. It's a continuous act. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a part of it, and this is it. "Now, my daughter, wanting you together with me in my will, I want your continuous act. So Your awake mind is act. The murmuring of your prayer is act. The movements of your hands, the beating of your heart, the moving of your gaze are acts. They may be small, but why do I care? As long as there is the motion, the seed, I unite them to my own, and I make them great, and I give them the virtue of producing lives. My acts, too, were not at all great in appearance, especially when as a little one, I moan and suckle milk from my mama. I amuse myself in kissing her, caressing her, entangling my little hands with hers. When I was a little older, I picked flowers, I drew the water, and other things. These were all small acts, but they were united in my will, in my divinity. And this was enough. and they were so great as to be able to create millions and billions of lives. So when I was moaning, lives of creatures were coming out from my moans. I suckled, I kissed, I caressed, but it was lives that they were coming out. Souls were flowing in my fingers and tangled with the hands of my mama. And while I picked up flowers and drew the water, it was souls that were coming out from the heartbeat of my uncreated heart, and they entered into it. My emotion was continuous. This is the reason for your vigil. When I see your motion, your acts in my will, now placing themselves at my side, now flowing in my hands, now in my voice, in my mind, in my heart, I make of them the motion of all, and I give life to each one in my will, giving them the virtue of my acts, and I make them run for the salvation of and for the good of all. And yeah, it's just, I mean, we're not capable of doing this continuous act, because even though if we want to do it, like, you know, we need to go to bed, we need to shower, we need to eat, we can be eating all day, we can be sleeping all day, that would be like not normal. And that's why he wants us to unite these acts in his divine will, because in his divine will is the only way to be continuous. Even if we're not, like right now I'm sitting, I'm not like eating, but an hour earlier I was eating, and I wanted to place that in the eternity of God, and for him that act is still happening. And that's how it works. Like for him, if we united into his will, it keeps continuing and continuing. And her mother said, we don't have to like be, we need to be aware, and we need to be like conscious that this is happening, and we need to believe. For me, the clue to the divine will is faith. Believing that it's happening, and that it's continuous, and that it's never ending. And we will only understand that clearly when we pass from this earth. But as right now, that's the state that Jesus wanted us to be, heaven. Heaven is eternal glory. And that eternal glory, he wants to like give it us ahead of time, not after we die. That's divine will. And yeah, it's just love, give God to God, loving God with his own love. And yeah, not asking for anything, only for the kingdom of God to come, as how our Father says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in divine will, you have everything. It's like Jesus, he never asked for anything, only for souls and only for the salvation of the souls. Because he as God, he got everything. And we in his will, we obtain that everything which it is him. And just believe in that and have faith, and it will happen.
Yes, agree. Thank you, Sister Pamela. You know, you mentioned about, you know, something not normal. You know, I think it's an unwritten requisite to be journeying in the divine will to not be normal. I don't think I'm normal, and I'm sure many of you there are not normal as well. Normal as the world considers normal. You know, that's a relative statement, but I think it's a compliment. I think it's good to be not normal. Another thing too, you mentioned about, you know, knowing our, you know, poor Adam. Poor Adam had nobody before him that fell that he can, you know, sort of emulate or say, I can't do that. You know, although he had omniscience, he knew the ends of his results. He didn't know the ramifications. You know, Jesus talks about this too, as he gives us, again, an explication. Even our Blessed Mother, she knew everything, but he was giving her the information when it was needed. For example, Cana. Did she know Cana at the birth of Christ? We don't know. But it seems to indicate that she wasn't given that information until it was needed. Again, grace anticipates the soul. So we have to be very careful to recognize that we don't have to worry about our next situation. As long as we stay relying to God, faithful to God, have that trust, like you said, sister, I think all will be done for us. Again, that doesn't mean we sit back and take it easy, but God will work in each and every one of us. Father, sisters?
Hi.
Hello, sister.
Hello. Yeah, you mentioned Peter not being normal. I just remember.
I mean it as a compliment, actually.
No, when I was at the University of Medicine, we learned the definition of normality, actually. The definition is the behavior of the majority, which is really like, right. Yeah, so it's good.
Hence the compliment.
Yeah, but it's also good not to be abnormal. I mean, yeah.
True, true.
I just want to come back to what Sister Francesca was saying. she was mentioning Simon of Cyrene, and I was also like contemplating before on the sixth station, the fifth station, the Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus to carry the cross. And you know, how much humility actually it takes, you know, to accept help and not being able to pay back, you know, how a lot of humility it takes. And and also the 13th cross, not to see the fruits of your work, like Jesus, you know, he did everything, and it took everything to do it, you know, to do the redemption, and then it was just over. Like you can't see the fruit of it, and they just took him out of the cross, and that's it. At that moment, it seemed like, you know, to the women there and to the apostle, it seemed that that's it in that moment. Like, but also how much humility and how much nothingness it takes to really accept this kind of crosses. And actually, I was just thinking, so to be little, to be like really like little children, to more than humility, to, you know, to really to touch our nothingness, as Sister Francesca said, you know, because it's really necessary to be able then to receive the gift of living in the divine will, to touch our nothingness. And then I was just reading from volume 35, October 12, 1937. The prayers of one who lives in the divine volition are like commands, and her acts are messengers between heaven and earth. For the soul who lives in the divine volition, all things become divine will. So Jesus was telling to Lisa, "My blessed daughter, how beautiful it is to live in my will. The creature who does so keeps us always in feast. She knows nothing other than my will, and everything becomes will of God for her. The suffering is divine will. The joy is divine will. Her heartbeat, breathing, and motion all become divine will. Her steps and works feel the steps of my will, as well as the sanctity of the works of my fiat. The food she takes, her sleep, the most natural things become will of God for her. In all that she sees, feels, and touches, she sees, feels, and touches the palpitating life of my will. My will keeps her so busy and invested with itself, the jealous, it doesn't allow anything, not even the air, not to be divine will. Just as for the creature, everything is our will, so it is for us. We feel her within the whole of our divine being, in the heartbeat and in the motion, and we can do nothing, nor do we want to do anything without the creature who lives in our will. Our love is such that we make her flow in all our works. Together with us, she maintains and participates in our creative and preserving act. She is with us, doing what we do, wanting what we want. And we cannot put her aside, since the will we possess is one. One the love, one the act we do. This is living in our will. To live always together, to be one single thing. And this was the need of our love, to have the company of the creature, to delight together, keeping her in our lap in order to be happy together. Then, since the creature is small, we want to give her our will in order to have the opportunity to give her our life, our act, and our modes in each of her acts, ours by nature, hers by grace. This is our joy and our greatest glory." So as I was reading this, it actually, it reminded me, you were saying before, when the things become complicated, it seems like it may seem divine will is complicated, but as you were saying, Jesus had to do it to be accessible to everyone. Really, many saints before our time were really focused on God and concentrated on God and really doing their best to grow in virtue, but God has chosen us to live in this time, and to be little and to want to accept this gift. So I was many times asking myself, how is it possible that, you know, God has chosen me to get to know the divine will and to be able, to want it, to desire to live in it. How come, me of all the people, and it's a mystery. It's really a mystery that probably we will only get to know in heaven.
Yeah, God has a great sense of humor for sure.
Okay, we can turn it over to the San Marino sisters now.
Okay, Father, thank you. I'm going to ask San Marino to mute themselves, and I'm going to pin them. I may use that term. Hello, sisters.
Hello.
How's everything?
Good.
You look joyful. Welcome back from your retreat.
Thank you.
Is Sister Teresa going to be first again?
Yes. I
Good.
I want to add something of what Sister Gemma and Francesca talked before about the wounds that we have, and it's just a bit. There is a little part connected with my meditation, yes, they speak about our wounds and how much we need to surrender to God and don't have lamentation about what we live in a difficult way. Because it's very easy to lose patience and to close the door at the grace of God. Because it's not something that happens 5 minutes, yes, and 5 minutes, no. Jesus wants to live in our lives. So it's important to don't close the door to the grace that want to truly come like a very, 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 very strong in our life, in our heart. And speaking specifically about the wounds, I was thinking last days about the wounds that we have in our, that we can receive in the wounds of our mothers. And if you think, okay, in my past, I have some wounds, I can have a good memory to put my wounds in a prayer and also to offer my wounds during the Mass. So it's something that already I can do something. I can pray, I can remember, yes, truly, sure with the grace of God, because He only can enlighten my memory. But it's something that I can still doing something. I pray, I offer to the Mass, I receive the grace, etc. But if I think the wounds in the womb of our mother, how can we remember that grace? Yes, God can do also that, but it's very difficult for us. It's only a poor grace from God. And at that point, we can only totally surrender ourselves. And if we think, okay, I have a wounds, our first movement can be, I am alone, in front of me there is Jesus, I can ask him something for resolve that problem. It's not truly correct. If we really believe at the incarnation, and if we have a big, powerful prayer, the novena of Christmas in Divine Will, where we meditated the nine excess of love, he lived that wounds for us. So it's not more important to take possession of that wounds to offer to God, but it's important I am with him. My life is him. And in one way, we have to accept also our impotence to ask, Jesus, help me. No, Jesus already did all. He has the experience, and also in other things, his love is more big than our sorrow. And this made me think, because Gemma used these words. We can use the sorrow for a good things, to transform our pain in a very grace for us and also for other souls. My meditation is a little part from volume 11, August 20, 1923, and Jesus said to Luisa, my daughter, those who live in their lives in my life ascend on the golden star way, so I can say there are my feet, my hands, my heart, the whole of myself. As you can see, they are another me. They are all for me, and I am their life. Their actions are all of gold and of incalculable value because they are divine. No one will ever be able to reach their height because they are my very life, almost without anyone knowing them because they are hidden in me. Only in heaven will they be perfectly known. In one way, we have our human way to live our life, and we live with our sense. We need to see, we need to hear, we need to touch. But Jesus is teaching us to be more hidden and to not be afraid, because sometimes also for us nuns is okay. I would like to live my life hidden, my spiritual grace hidden. But in some moments you can have the temptation, what I'm doing, I'm doing nothing. But it's not true, because this reading, this truth in Divine Will is very powerful, because it's still is saying to us, you have to know your good, the most beautiful part of you, only when you will go in heaven. Because we can possess totally Jesus, totally God in our life on the earth. We can only believe that. On the wooden star way, there are more souls. These are the souls who walk along the way of the virtues, yes, but not in union with my life and with the continuous connection of my will. Their actions are of wood, therefore their value is minimal. These souls are short, almost scrawny, because many human purposes are mixed with their good actions, and human purposes produce no growth. They are known to everyone because they are not hidden in me, but in themselves. Therefore, no one covers them. They will not cause any surprise for heaven, since they were known also on the earth. Also speaking about the wounds that we can have, this teach us to totally surrender to God, to not to give much importance of what virtues we can have. Because at every step of our spiritual life, oh, what I enriched today, what I conquered today, I have done to think about myself totally. I am with God. I believe that I am with God, and I cannot realize all my conquer in my spiritual life. And speaking also about wounds, I can try to connect this meditation with another volumes. Volumes 16, August 20, 1929, where Jesus teach us what is the true model for living this kind of life. And for sure, the true model is Our Lady. And he said, and then there is an example of my mama, true sanctity of their living, the living in my will, her interior whole eclipsed in the eternal sun of the supreme volition, having to be the queen of the sanctity of the saints, mother and bearer of my life to all, and therefore of all goods. She remained as though hidden within all, bringing good without making herself recognized. More than silent sun, she will bring light without speech, fire without claim, or good without exposing herself. There was no good which will not come from her. There was no miracle which will not spring from her. Also, if we think about charismatic renewal, oh, that people has this charism, that the other one can do miracle, the other one can do, we have to overcome this kind of gift that are very, very good, that we still need this kind of gift. But the living in divine will is more important. And thinking about Our Lady and the wounds in our, in the wounds that we receive in the womb of our mothers, this is a new womb when we have to enter. And that in that womb, all is protect, also our mothers. We can be mother of our mother in one sense.
Yes, act motherly. We can act like mother. Yeah, it's very, very, you know, it's interesting too, because our mother, you know, our mother always doesn't want anything for herself. She always wants to bring all the attention to her son. But that hiddenness you spoke about, sister, that's exactly what we're called to do. But again, it's sometimes very difficult to do. Yeah, I just said that little thing. You know, Jesus told Louisa, you know, you look like you're doing nothing while you're doing everything.
Yeah.
So I think it probably played on the Pharisees, who looked like they were doing everything, but really in their heart it was empty. Again, I'm not talking about all, but for most. And God says, okay, I want to reverse things now. The appearance is not what matters. It's the heart, and we know the intention. That's what's so beautiful. Thank you for the passage.
My meditation was on volume 16, February 8th, 1924. And Jesus says how the little ones must be in his will and what they must do. So I'll just kind of skip and get to the meat of it. Jesus is telling Louisa, he says, in my will, the little ones must be ahead of all. Even more inside my womb. One must plead, repair, unify our will, not only with her own, but with those of all, but with those of all. They must be near us and so unified with us to receive all the reflections of the divinity in order to copy them within herself. She must have a thought which may be the thought of all, a word, a step, a work, a step, a love, which may be of all and for all. And since our will envelops everyone, may that thought of yours, which in our will be the thought of all, that act, that love, shine in each thought, word, and act of all generations. And in the power of our will, may they become antidotes, defenders, lovers, operators, etc. So when we're doing our acts and rounds, you know, this is what happens, because we're doing it. We are doing it for everybody. We're doing it for all of humanity, for the honor and glory of God. And so we're repairing, we're loving, we're, you know, all these things that, you know, the people that don't know God or don't accept them. So it's just a beautiful thing how he kind of puts it together here. And then he says, if you knew with what love our celestial Father awaits you, and the joy, the contentment he feels in seeing you, so little bring the whole creation onto his lap to give him the return of all. He feels the glory, the joy, the amusements of the purpose of creation come back to him. This is why it is necessary that you come before all and before, because Louisa at the beginning was saying, you know, she was putting herself behind everybody. And he's saying, no, you've got to put yourself before all, you know, doing all of this. And then he says, and after you have come forward, you will make a turn in our will and will go behind everyone. You will place them as though on your lap and will bring them onto all into our womb. And we, in seeing them covered with your acts done in our will welcome them with more love and will feel more disposed to bind our will with those of creatures so that it may return to its full dominion. Therefore, courage. The little ones get lost in the crowd. And this is why it is necessary that you come forward in order to fulfill the mission of your office in our will. In our will, the little ones have no thoughts of themselves, for their own things, but everything in common with the celestial Father. And this goes, you know, because when I read this, I'm like, well, you know, yes, okay, I understand it, but how can we always have, you know, we always have thoughts of ourselves. That's just our nature. But it goes back to all that he's been teaching, like from the first volumes, our surrender, what we were talking about, like the sisters and Teresa, you know, the surrender, the our nothingness, you know, it's going back to that. So when you have these, you know, when you have too much of this self-reflection or too much of these, you know, you start to get worried because, you know, it's usually because of something about ourselves that we're concerned about. We have to surrender it and just give it to the Lord and not get scrupulous about it, but just, okay, accept it. Yeah, it's there. So I give it to the Lord. It's, you know, he knows what to do with it. So then he says, therefore, just as everyone enjoys the sun, as they are all inundated by its light, because it was created by God for the good of all. In the same way, all enjoy the use of the acts done by the little daughter of our will. which more than sun dart over all, so that the sun of the eternal volition may rise again with the purpose for which all generations were created. Therefore, do not get lost in the crowd of your miseries, of your abjection, of self-reflections, but think only about your office of little one of our will, and be attentive on fulfilling your mission.
Well, I think it's so important. The preventing act and the actual acts throughout the day help us to take the focus off ourselves and back on God while still navigating in this world on earth. So you're right. It's difficult at times. But I think the preventing act and the actual acts really help that. Oh, sister.
Hello.
Scholastica.
I have a really short passage today, so that's providential considering the time we're at. So this is from volume 20, January 13th, 1927. And I'm going to go ahead and skip to the last paragraph, but I'm not going to read the whole paragraph. So this is Jesus speaking to Louisa, and he tells her, "My daughter, in order to live in my will, the soul must ascend, and in order to ascend in it, she must leave that which does not belong to my will. She must leave her miserable rags, her vulgar habits, her vile foods, her miseries. Everything she must leave in order to make use of the royal garment of divine habits, of precious and nourishing foods, of infinite riches, in sum, of everything that belongs to my will." And this made me think of an example that Jesus also told Louisa. I don't remember which volume it is, but I think Jesus was explaining to Louisa in words for us to understand, is that he said, like, someone who lives in the human will is like a woman bent over and completely covered in black, has a heavy veil on her face, and, you know, doesn't know where she's going, or, you know, is unsure of her steps, and it's always gloomy kind of thing. But then he said, but someone who lives in the divine will is standing up straight, walking normally, not, you know, pulled down with these heavy, dark garments, not wearing a veil. She can clearly see where she's going. And not that long ago, I had a conversation with someone who's a fallen away Catholic and is now Protestant, and also the family's Protestant. And we were talking about, you know, the spiritual life, like someone who's not, you know, like a believer, you know, that, like, it's basically, they're kind of like that, like they're walking in darkness, it's not very clear. But then when you are a believer, you know, you're saved in a sense, and, you know, you're walking in the light. And then they knew that, you know, we're into divine will, the writings of divine, they know about the divine will writings. And so they said, so that's what also you guys are talking about in the divine will, right? It's kind of things similar like that with the human will and the divine will. And I said, yes. And I used that example because it's true. Like here, Jesus says is that with the divine will, that's the all, that's the ultimate. So until we get to that point, we're still concerned about things of the earth and being burdened and heavy down. We're not getting the ultimate. We're still doing with the trivial things, you know. So that's what made me come to mind with this passage.
And that's so true too. You know, Jesus says, he says that, you know, nothing can rest until, he says, creation's not complete yet. It's not complete until we go back. In fact, before we go back to Mother, just really quickly, I know we're short on time. Volume 14, September 11th, 1922, paraphrasing just a small bit of it. But Jesus explained, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way withal to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. So again, everything that's been given to us has been for one reason, Jesus tells us, to go back to that order, place, and purpose for which God created us. Relapse and error of Adam. So it's all in the divine will, and all roads lead to it. All devotions, all apparitions, everything good leads to the divine will. Thank you, sister, so much for that. I'd like to go back to the Mother House for, I know you're really short on time. Maybe Mother can give us some final thoughts.
Okay, I just want to read. God can see everything better than I can, so I'd just rather read just one little tiny passage from volume 36. My desire for the soul to live in our will, my anxiety and my ardent sighs are such that I keep repeating to the ear of her heart, make me content. Don't make me sigh anymore. If you live in my fiat, the night will be over for you, and you will enjoy the fullness of the day. Or better still, every act done in it will be a new day, bringing new graces, new love, and unexpected joys. All the virtues will have a celebration for you in their place of honor. Like many princesses, they will court your Jesus and your soul. You will form in yourself my throne of brightest light, where I will dominate as a king. In all freedom, I will dominate your whole being, even your breathing. There is nothing I won't give you if you live in my will. Amen.
Amen. Mother, sisters, welcome back. We missed you terribly, but we know it was a very fruitful retreat that you had. Thank you so much for the time that you spent with us today. Hopefully, God willing, we'll be back in 2 weeks with this and this Thursday live again on Radio Maria. I want to give everyone the opportunity now, if they'd like to unmute themselves and say hello or goodbye to mother and sisters. And I think you can do it now. I think.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Love you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.